Coffeehouse Shots is sponsored by Look Forward, the podcast from Rathbones on what the future might look like. Find out more at rathboneslookforward.com. Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Balls and our economics correspondent, Kate Andrews. So today Rishi Sunak gave a statement on the future of the furlough scheme. Katie, can you tell us what it said?
Yes, so we knew that Rishi Sunak was looking at ways to gradually bring the furlough scheme to a close. He gave an interview quite recently saying that he was going to do this, but he wanted to avoid a cliff edge. Now, what they've announced today, I think, is actually more generous than what lots of people were expecting or had anticipated. So the Chancellor said that the furlough scheme, so the job retention scheme, is going to be extended for 4 months, so not just to July. It's now going to be there until the end of October. But there are some caveats to this. So there will be changes. So up until July, there are going to be no changes to the scheme. But then from then on, so from August to October, there's going to be more flexibility. So for one, though we're still going to get all the details, you would be able to work part-time, but still technically be furloughed. At the moment, you can't do that. If you're furloughed, you're not even supposed to send a work email because there's worried that you could ultimately have companies using taxpayer money to have staff who are actually working. But they're going to make it more flexible. And this is in part because if you think about social distancing practices, we are hearing some things. So again, as with everything, more details to come, such as staggered shifts, people coming in at different times, half the number of people in the offices or your workplace. Potentially, if you get to the point where we might ever go to a restaurant again, I think it's hard right now to imagine it is going to be full service in the sense that every table's there. So I think you are potentially going to see people phasing back into work, and that's why the scheme is going to become more flexible in that sense. There's also the point where they are saying from that point onwards, the government's going to ask employers to start sharing the costs of paying people's salaries. We don't have the specifics on this yet. But I think what is interesting there is to what percentage are companies going to be asked to put in? Because there is, as soon as I think you ask companies to put in a high percentage or even just a noticeable one, there is a chance that these companies say, oh, we can't afford it. We are just going to make staff redundant. So we'll need to see the specifics on that.
Kate, this is a far cry from what was being reported in the papers last week when, there were briefings saying that the government wanted to wean people off of the furlough scheme, worried that they were being addicted. What's your reaction to this announcement?
It's really the most cautious approach I think one could take to rolling back the furloughing scheme. As Katie says, we still don't know the details about how much the government will foot the bill when, from the start of August, it asks employers to pick up some of that tab. But it's clear by extending the scheme and also by changing the scheme that they're really not looking to pick a fight with business and the unions, at least publicly. I'm sure over the next few weeks, as they determine what that percentage is going to be and what that breakdown is, we will see those tensions rise. But the furloughing scheme, we have to remember, was originally brought in to deal with the lockdown and the repercussions of it. It was designed to hibernate the economy and the employees in it. And the idea was make sure these people, as many as possible, don't lose their jobs, make sure that they're there ready to go when we can reopen the economy. The problem, of course, is that reopening the economy is not like flicking a switch. As Katie says, it's going to be very staggered. Some businesses are going to come back before others. Those businesses will not be operating at full capacity. Even offices that aren't necessarily selling products, aren't shops on the corner, won't be able to have all their employees back in at the same time until their offices are, quote, COVID secure. So now it's not just about managing the lockdown. It's about managing the COVID economy and what it looks like as we start to come out of this. I suppose if you want to try to take any silver lining away from this, one could infer from the timeline that they are actually quite hopeful that most businesses will be up and running by July and at least making some kind of cash. So when it comes to splitting the bill with employers from August, some businesses are in the position to do so. And I think on that point as well, the increased flexibility is absolutely key. We're already seeing it's getting a lot of cross-party support. Caroline Lucas from the Green from the Green Party applauded the Chancellor for making it more flexible, because for a lot of employers, when they do go back, if they can't operate at full capacity, if they can't have as many staff in the shop, you know, not even because they're not making money or as much money, but because they're not allowed to, they might have to make some tough decisions. And so that bridge between allowing employees to work a few days a week and be furloughed a few days a week, again, may save a lot of jobs in the long run, especially full-time jobs.
And Katie, in the last few days, we've seen probably the most explicit yet divergence between the devolved administrations and England on this approach to lockdown. And even today, the Welsh government announced that it would not be recommending the use of face masks. But when it comes to furlough, is this a national approach?
Yes, I think, if you look at the devolved settlement and the way the devolved administrations work, while, for example, Nicola Sturgeon is clearly in charge of the public health response, the bulk of the big economic decisions in terms of raising money and, you know, budgets still rests with Westminster. So as it stands, unless we receive any other clarifications, ultimately, this is a scheme which the timings of which apply to everyone across the United Kingdom. This raises an interesting question going forward, though, because at the moment, although there's been visually and in terms of the statements made by Boris Johnson, Nicola Sturgeon, Mark Drake, for a sense that there's quite a lot of differences going, it has in large been a point of emphasis. So, for example, the stay home message is still in place in Scotland, but in England we're being told to stay alert. But it does touch on to something, which is Nicola Sturgeon is talking of the need to be more cautious, questioning whether people should be really being told to work if they can't work from home, to actually go into work. And I think that there is a potential issue coming up the road, which is, if in the long term the Welsh administration and the Scottish and Holyrood want to take a different approach, where they take a much slower approach to lockdown easing than England, you are going to ultimately still have the same fiscal policy or schemes available. Now, clearly, the devolved administrations can spend the money they are allocated in their own way, but it is not quite the same in terms of, you know, huge sums of money. So I think that could create tension depending on how far you go down the line. But I think for now, I think because this is more generous than lots of people have thought it would be, though again, we need to see the specific details, it probably isn't an imminent problem.
And Kate, in the last few weeks, we've heard about the cost of the furlough schemes, with some estimates putting it at nearly the same cost as the NHS each month. Is the extension to October affordable, and what is going to be down the line to pay for it?
Well, look, it's a colossal cost. So the furloughing scheme over 1 month cost £8 billion. And to put that in perspective, we spend roughly £11 billion on the NHS every month. You know, that's supposed to be healthcare for everybody. So the scheme is extremely expensive. The head of the Institute for Fiscal Studies has just tweeted out that he thinks that this extension to October could now see the budget creeping up to £100 billion for this one scheme alone. Don't forget, there is hundreds of billions pounds worth of business loans that are out there, tax cuts, the rest of it. So, you know, this is just the furlough scheme. Granted, it is at the heart of the government's agenda. How we pay for it is still very much up in the air. The government is avoiding those talks so far, although they're quite keen to say that they don't want to repeat the austerity agenda that was implemented back during the financial crash. Hopefully, this is a one-off big spending splurge. This isn't a structural deficit, i.e. money that we're spending every single year that we can't afford. And a one-off spending spree does mean that you have more options about paying down that debt slowly but surely, different tools I think that you can use rather than sort of having to deal with it immediately because you know that you're always racking up that money. So I'm sure that debate will come in the future, but I think the more important debate to focus on right now is that the government has a real dilemma on its hands. On the one hand, it has to protect people who really can't go back to work right now, who aren't allowed to because the government has legislated against it. On the other hand, their new messaging, Stay Alert, is designed to try to encourage people to go back outside, to go back to work if they can't work from home, and to not kickstart the economy, but to slowly start getting things moving. And the truth is that for a lot of workers, not all, but for a lot, the 80% salary, the 20% pay cut that they're taking is sustainable, especially if they're not commuting and they don't have the same social costs. That's sustainable. And of course, employers are extremely nervous about reopening because they're scared of the blame game to come. They don't want to be the employer that opened their doors first and saw an employee contract COVID, sadly die of COVID when they were on their premises or on their way to work. So there's so much caution on the part of the public, and a lot of people can be sustained on 80% of their salary. And so the fact that the Chancellor has yet again been so generous and extended this scheme into the end of October may not gel with their new messaging and their new attempt to try to get people back out there. I think this is a really difficult balance to strike, and they've been so generous. I think it may conflict a bit with their phase two for getting the economy started and also their public health strategy.
I also think this announcement, although it is going to be seen as generous, might not be universally welcomed within the Tory party. It's definitely the case that while we are in lockdown, Tory MPs want there to be the business support packages that are needed to keep businesses, you know, going. But I think specifically on the furlough scheme, there is some scepticism over its purpose. And if you speak to some Tory MPs, not all, they basically will say that they think it's fueling this idea that if, for example, you know, lots of polls show people want lockdown to continue, they're uncomfortable with any easing of lockdown. And Tory MPs often point to the furlough scheme saying, in a way, it's cushioning all the economic reality, meaning that lots of people are just happy staying in their homes when really you need to give people incentive to work. That's one gripe. And secondly, they just think it's unsustainable to keep going. So while I think there will be relief in many quarters that the scheme is going to keep going, I think that there is a heavy dose of suspicion over what the scheme actually does by, you know, some in the Tory party.
Katie and Kate, thanks very much. And you can subscribe to this podcast through all the usual routes. And don't forget, we have that free wireless charger. So just go to spectator.co.uk/charger to get that, as well as a free subscription to The Spectator. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.
Coffeehouse Shots is sponsored by the Rathbones Look Forward podcast. Join the world's leading thinkers, writers, and scientists discussing the future of our ever-changing world. In the latest episode, historian Tom Holland talks to broadcaster Andrea Catherwood on the future of morality. Find out more at rathbonesluckforward.com.